Family, thanks for worshiping with us. We're excited to continue our series on the spiritual discipline of reading the Bible. We've been here for the last 3 weeks, and this is our final week talking about, finally, what is the rhythm that we want to have as readers of the Bible. So in the first week, we asked the question, what is the Bible? And we defined it as a library of scripture. We use the word library because there are 66 different books with all sorts of different literary styles and genres written by different authors over a long period of time. So it is a library, a little mini library, but it's also a library of scripture with a capital S, meaning these are the words, the written words of God. The Bible says that these words are breathed out by God. So we have a library of scripture that also tells a unified story that leads to Jesus. It's all about him. And the week after that, we asked the question, can we trust the Bible? And so we talked about how we can trust the scriptures because Jesus did. We can trust that these are, in fact, God's words because that's what Jesus did. And I realized that that was a very short teaching about a potentially big issue. If you do have kind of some questions or doubts about the Bible, we don't mean to be kind of flippant about them or to move beyond them too quickly. So if after that teaching, some questions have come up in your mind, you have questions about what the Bible is, or if you can trust it, we want to continue that conversation as your pastors and your church family as long as it possibly takes. And so if you have other questions, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'd love to talk about the Bible with you some more. Last week, we talked about why it is important that we have a rhythm of reading the scripture. Why can't we just kind of read it once and then call it good? And we talked about how reading the scripture has been a part of God's people since the very beginning. Understanding and knowing the story, having it on your mind, reading it out loud publicly is part of our history, and it needs to be part of our future as well. And so this week, we finally kind of asked the question, what should this rhythm look like? What do we want our kind of discipline, our practice of reading the Bible to be as a church family? So we know what the Bible is. We believe we can trust it, and we believe it is God's word. We're convinced that it should be a part of our lives as Jesus followers. And so now we ask, what should our rhythm be? And I think that whatever our rhythm should be, it should help facilitate two things. Our rhythm of reading scripture should remind us of and root us in the story that we are a part of. And it should also, our rhythm should bring us into the presence of God. And I actually think we need to maybe sometimes approach the Bible differently for each of those goals. So we'll talk about that first one right now, about developing a rhythm of reading scripture that reminds us of and kind of invites us into and cements us into that story that we are living in. So another way of saying this is that the story of the Bible, this story is your story. It's our story. The story we find in the scriptures is not simply an option of a version of history that we happen to believe is true. To believe in Jesus is to say that the story of the scriptures is the story of reality. It's the story that all of us humans are living, not just for Christians, but for the whole world. So I'm going to get a little bit philosophical just for a second when I say that all of us are living within a narrative. There is a story to the world, and we, in our minds, exist as part of that story. However, there are competing stories that we hear that try to account for humans and the world, competing narratives that kind of attempt to define what our lives are about. And these narratives explain who we are, why we're here, who's in charge of the world, and so on. So an example of an alternative narrative would be the narrative of like philosophical naturalism. There is a book and a TV show where a famous scientist named Carl Sagan said that the cosmos is all that is or was or will ever be. So the narrative of life here is that all that has ever existed or will exist is matter, like our material world, things that we can see or touch, measure. And in this narrative of life, most would contend that humans exist because of an amazing cosmological accident. And we are here randomly, but also now our job is to kind of grow and improve as a species and help our societies through progress, whatever that means. Another narrative would be like the narrative of like American nationalism. So one of the best written characters in all of television history, Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation, said, he said, history began on July 4th, 1776. Everything before that was a mistake. this is hilarious, but also is it like a short-sighted American dream, a narrative of personal freedom and autonomy and building wealth and doing what it takes to make your life happy and comfortable and pulling yourself up from your bootstraps. This is a competing narrative that seeks to define for Americans who we are and why we're here and what our life is about. So in that version of life or in that narrative, humans exist to rule ourselves and to make ourselves happy, to eliminate as much discomfort as possible through wealth. And history is heading towards, America continuing to be one of the best nations ever. And obviously both of those like explanations of those narratives were oversimplified, and maybe some of those factors in each of them are not exclusive to naturalism or American nationalism. My point is that whether we know it or not, we operate as characters in a narrative that we believe is true, in a narrative that explains our life and the lives of those around us and where life is headed. And I say all this to bring us to the point where we acknowledge that the scriptures offer a narrative of life, an alternative story, if you will. So when we ask the question of who is in charge, or who are we, who are humans, why are we here, where is history heading, the Bible offers a narrative. And so let's actually watch a video from the Bible Project. You guys know how much we love them and the work that they do. So they have a video called The Story of the Bible. So let's watch that now. So that story of the Bible, it is the story of reality. Like, it corresponds to the world as it actually is, it is true. And over time, this story, we need to read it enough to have it sink in and cement as the story that we live our lives according to. When we think about who we are as humans and what we are here for and where history is headed, all of this needs to be formed by the story of the Bible. So the question is, how do we do this? How do we read the Bible with the intent of establishing this story as our story? And I have a very, I think, is a simple answer, which is to just read it and to read large sections of it at a time. I think most of us have probably at some point tried a Bible reading plan where you kind of read 2 to 4 chapters a day and you kind of maybe try to read through the Bible in a year or so. And I think that it's time that maybe we had a fresh Bible reading plan. It's a little bit different, and here's why. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, 929 in the Old Testament, 260 in the New Testament. If you read 4 chapters a day, which is a decent amount to read every day, if that's like your Bible reading time, you'd finish the Bible in 297 days. So in 297 sessions of reading 4 chapters, you'd finish the story. So if we took those ratios to a book, say like a Harry Potter book or something that's like 300-ish pages, if you read that book and divide it up the way we do the Bible into 297 sittings, you'd read about 1 page per day. It'd be a little bit challenging to really like get into the story and understand it well if you read a novel like that 1 page per day. Similarly, a movie. Take a 2-hour movie, 120 minutes long. If you watched a 120-minute movie in 297 sections, that'd be about 40 seconds per session of watching. So again, pretty difficult to get the feel for a story taking it in such small sections. Could you do it? Yes, but it's really not the ideal way to do it. So our typical Bible reading plans have us read, if they're 2 to 4 chapters, what I think is actually too short of amounts of the Bible to actually like understand and remember and internalize the big story, but they're also too long and too many chapters to like really slow down and think about and meditate on what you're reading and using that reading time as a way to meet with God in the process. So if you don't have a reading rhythm already, or you are open to trying something new, I propose that as a church family, we shoot for reading large sections of the Bible once a week, maybe twice a week. So rather than doing 2 to 4 chapters a day, pick one day in your week. Maybe if you do a Sabbath, you could do it on your Sabbath or at some point on the weekend. Pick one day and try to read for a few hours. Like if you were reading a novel, read the Bible instead. The book of Genesis, say, is 50 chapters, takes around 3 hours to read, depending on how fast or slow you read. What if you sat down on a Saturday and just read the whole thing, or split it up in between 2 Saturdays and read 25 chapters one week and 25 the next? What if you read all of the book of Mark in one sitting? That's totally doable. Or what if you read all of 1 Corinthians in one sitting? We get a really different and a really helpful, healthy understanding of not just the overarching story of the Bible, which we want to do, but we also get a better understanding of each individual book of the Bible and how they kind of contribute to this story that is about Jesus. So again, I said earlier that I think that 2 to 4 chapters is like a little bit too short of sections to really get the big story of the Bible internalized, but it's also maybe too long of sections to work towards our other goal, which is to meditate on Scripture as a way of being with God. So our first goal, read large sections of Scripture to really internalize and understand the big story. And the second goal, read really short and small sections and meditate on them as a way of being with God. That's the second kind of rhythm we want to have, is reading Scripture in such a way that it brings us into the presence of God. So in this kind of reading, we want to come with the posture of humility and being ready to commune in relationship with God. And yes, we might learn things like we would about the story, but our goal isn't to study. Our goal is to just be with God as we ponder these shorter sections of the Scriptures. One of the oldest methods of doing this is something that the church has actually been doing for a very, very long time, and it's called Lectio Divina, a Latin phrase meaning divine reading. So this is like a 4 or 5 step process where you begin by just kind of preparing your heart to meet with God for a few minutes, kind of similar to the daily office that we have kind of been learning to practice as a church. You just take a few minutes, slow down your breathing, quiet your mind, be still and quiet. And then you next begin by kind of slowly reading a short passage of Scripture, and you maybe read it over and over again, really slowly, each time kind of bringing your attention to a different word or section of a passage or a verse. And then as you continue this process, you kind of start to meditate, and you just ponder and stew on the passage or the verse. You invite the Holy Spirit to help show you what this passage means and to illuminate what it can mean for your life and give us kind of understanding as to what God might have for us in that section of Scripture. And then after that, you take a few minutes and you just pray. Pray about what you've been reading and just have some time to talk with the Lord. And then the final step in this is just to contemplate in some quiet moments, to just think about and ponder what you have been reading, whatever is kind of stirring around in your mind as a result of your time being with God. So that's a very kind of abbreviated explanation of Lectio Divina. And I'll be honest, church, this is new to me, that kind of formal process of Lectio Divina. And you don't have to follow that, step for step. But I think what's important is the posture that we come to the Scripture with when we're attempting to be with God, not necessarily to study, but to understand that God can meet us through His Word, and He does, and He wants to. If you've been reading the Bible and praying for a while, you probably already do something very similar to this. Maybe you would never call it that, but chances are you probably have done some mixture of reading and slowing down and praying, and that's great, and just keep going with that. But if you haven't started something like that yet, or if you maybe like me kind of primarily have read the Bible as a student where you're wanting to learn, I want to encourage you to join me as I learn to kind of also read the Bible as a beloved child of God who wants to meet with our Father through this powerful ministry of the Scriptures that we can meditate on. So that's what we proposed for you guys, for Valley Church, that as we kind of refine or start our journey as Bible readers, we want to encourage you to read as big of sections as possible, like once, maybe twice a week, but then daily to meditate on smaller sections of Scripture as a way of being in God's presence. I think this is a great direction for us to go as a church as we are kind of seeking to develop a rhythm of reading the Bible. I should probably mention that we can, of course, learn from the Bible through meditating on smaller sections. And of course, we can meet with God, and we do as we read big sections as well. But I kind of like the idea of for a season, deciding as a church that we're going to kind of focus each of those kinds of reading on different goals. So that is to daily meditate on a verse or a small passage as a way of being in God's presence. And then once or twice a week, just bust through this incredible story that is the Bible, reading larger sections, maybe even reading out loud with your family or with your community, So church, we hope that this series has been helpful for you, has encouraged you in this ancient practice of reading the Bible. We are all on a journey of developing that rhythm of reading. I am, I know you are. And we're also on a journey of understanding what it says and what it means. And so I'm honored and excited to be a part of that journey with you. I hope you're ready to keep moving forward and to dive into this book that we love so much. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the scriptures. We anticipate that you are going to meet us in them. And that's why we pursue them, because we want to pursue you, because they bring us to Jesus. They are about him. And that's why we love them. That's why we want to read them. That's why we meditate on them, because they bring us into closer relationship with you. We're grateful for this. And we're excited to continue to dive into the scriptures as a church family. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.